It's America's 250th birthday, and I'm going to shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, they've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas with genuine leather seats, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving, charging, storage, and those signature Bob-opedic seats. So, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture. Where America shops for furniture.
Hello. Welcome to the Dr. Lynn Tress Show. I am so delighted to host today's guest on both Spotify, Apple, and upcoming YouTube. And I'm Dr. Lynn Tress. I have a very honorable guest. He's Dr. Don Baker, speaking to me from Canada. This man is an absolute genius in the healthcare and healing field. And I'm so excited. I mean, really, to have the time and the presence. And thank you for being on the show. Don has a healthcare company and a healing company called Revibrancy. And it's been a huge success treating cases that have been intractable and up to now, for many people, incurable. So, Don, I hope that's just a modest introduction for you. And tell me about you. Tell me about your background, Dr. Don, and how you got to where you are.
Well, thank you, Dr. Tress. My background's very out of the box, very varied. I've got backgrounds in everything from Western to Eastern, I guess, if you want to call that. I hate the separation of medicine. I mean, there's strong points on the what we would classify as the Western side. I mean, when we look at the advancements we've made in emergency and, you know, restorative medicine, has been really amazing what we've seen develop over the last, you know, 100 years has been outstanding. And, you know, so emergency medicine, if you can't breathe, can't pee, can't poo, you broke something, you know, you're bleeding to death, that's where you want to go. I mean, those protocols and what they've established and their ability to really dial those things in have been wonderful. And the advancements we've made, I mean, if you blow a hip or you need a transplant, or, I mean, amazing advancements there. On more the natural side of things, I guess, if you want to call it more holistic side, which we tend to throw into that Eastern medicine term, you know, again, there's been, it's like there's been this battle all along of Western versus Eastern. So, you know, the words get tossed around that it's snake oil or it's, you know, a lot of these terms, because Western medicine was, if you look at the history, it was bought and paid for by big oil, and big oil made the investment into, basically, what we truly know is the pharmaceutical-based approaches, as well as the other approaches that we just talked about. But pharmaceuticals, which was petrochemically-based pharmaceuticals, and they created drugs, and that was their focus on that. And, you know, they were created to have some kind of cause or effect on the different symptoms and symptomology. But the view was looking at symptoms and how to affect symptoms, where the, you know, and it's this whole more look at the natural holistic approach. Their approach was more to look at, well, what's at the root cause of these ailments? Why is this person experiencing some kind of dis-ease? And that was really a key, was the difference in their ideologies, their approaches to health and wellness. You know, in Western medicine, I mean, there was 4 hours spent on nutrition. Oh, hey, we've gotten better. We got a whole day on nutrition in Western medicine. Wow. And 80% of our immune system comes from our gut. Okay. Parasitology, 4 hours. Wow. So when you look at how the design of that school system, because they wanted to control that system because they were the ones investing, and that was the reason. So you had your Morgans, your Rockefellers, all of those guys that were behind that. So that's just a little trip down why it went that way. So outside of emergency medicine any of the other approaches to medicine, again, they really didn't focus much on that. And then we call it more Eastern because, again, how they do things in China. I mean, they've had their own medicine for thousands and thousands of years, right? And so for myself, I was a little disillusioned because we didn't have that other side. So most of my early days were spent in Tibetan medicine. I went into the wilderness kind of for 8 years off and on with a guy by the name of Tom Brown Jr., who had the Tom Brown Jr. Tracker School. This guy was raised by an 83-year-old Lipan Apache that they called grandfather. And I learned all of the herbs and all of the everything from tracking to all the primitive skills and the connection to source, as we would call it more on the Eastern side, of God's great design. I mean, what I learned there was so expansive, and it shifted and changed how I truly saw things. And that experience was beyond phenomenal. And so that's why I shifted into more of that emergency wilderness medicine. How could I help? And so I did a lot of work and training in those fields. And the more that I got into it my base actually to put me through university and everything was, I was a record producer. So I was working with the likes of David Foster, Stevie Wonder, all those different guys, because I was the only guy that could program. I was really big into sound and frequency and vibration, which led me into a whole other path with Tibetan medicine. I mean, again, they were using sound, and I started putting two and two together. I was doing a lot of work, using sound as therapy in the early days. Nobody even knew what sound therapy was. I started actually doing music therapy at 16 years of age at the psych hospital, just in kind of my own backyard here near London, Ontario. And I had incredible, just absolutely incredible experiences, and seeing how music changed. And most of these people had been born with, some kind of congenital or other challenges that had caused, them to, suffer a little bit with different conditions. And but it was supposed to be just, hey, we're looking for somebody to come in on Tuesdays and Thursdays and just do some music. They didn't really have any direction. It was just. So I went in there and I thought, well, I'm going to make all of these folks the star, because I'm just a guy coming in. I play 10 instruments. I sing in 6 languages. I was always that kid. So I thought, well, let's just see where this goes. I'm going to throw it open and let them choose. So it actually ended up being called Rock On with Dawn on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And within a few weeks, everybody's like, hey, he's here. Take your places, right? And so, Johnny, he liked to sing Elvis, and Susie, she had her songs that she loved. And Timmy, he just liked to bang. So I had a little box of musical toys and stuff. And so everybody did their own thing. They all took a turn, and it was within 6 weeks, I was greeted by the head psychiatrist that was at this place. He says, look, we need to have a meeting. I said, oh, okay, really? Okay. And so they brought me into the room with all the white coats, and everybody's sitting there with their clipboards and making notes. And he said, see this stack of these papers, like these are the grievances we'd have every month. We have nothing since you got here. Oh, okay. And by the way, we've been experiencing a severe reduction in the meds that we were using. Like we thought the staff was pinching us for drugs. And I said, oh, really? Well, and then we come to find out from the staff that they're using you as a control factor. Because if they don't keep their crap tight, they don't get to do Rock On with Dawn on Tuesdays and Thursdays. I go, oh, interesting. I was a little cocky at that time. I was actually teaching the university professors because one of my undergrads was in music. Anyhow, I was teaching the university at Western University. I was teaching them how to use the new technology that was just coming out at that time. This is back in the 80s, right? Using MIDI and all these different. So I was one of the first guys in Canada with an all digital recording studio. And that's why I got all the cool equipment here. But anyhow, I was that kid, right? So, and they said, well, how do you explain yourself, son? I said, well, I guess I figured out what you geniuses haven't figured out. Well, that didn't go over too good. Right? They went, huh? I said, well, no, I'm treating these people with love and kindness. When I walked in here, you were using shock therapy on these people. You were, it was horrible. They were either drugged or shocked to try to control them. I said, look at how this experiment has turned out. Within 6 weeks, everybody's willing to do whatever they could because I'm using love, kindness, happiness, all these things. And I'm just meeting everybody where they're at and I'm letting them be the stars. This is the first time in their life they've gotten to be the star.
That's so remarkable. Oh, really? I mean, think about it. It changed from what could be like a medieval torture chamber kind of experience to, you know, this love and happiness and joy.
Yeah.
And just bring out their frequency of healing. And I'm sure you know what that frequency of healing is. And that's so cool.
Isn't that amazing? And I swear, because this piano hadn't been really tuned for so long, it actually detuned, believe it or not, to 432. Now everybody's talking about 432 and how the Nazis changed the A being equal instead of 432, which Stradivarius used to make his violins, to everything. They had shifted it up to 440. And I swear this piano had something magical about it as well, which it was. If I could go back in time, I'm sure if I tested that piano, it would tune to A432 instead of A440, which I'm like, wow, that's really cool stuff. Right. And so that's in the early days when I first started to really understand that there's way more to this whole music thing. And then I started studying people like Tesla, who says, look, if you want to explain anything in the universe, it all comes down to frequency and vibration. I go, well, yeah, you know, I mean, hey, how did they start the Bible? Oh, God spoke into the darkness, created the right.
That sound.
He spoke into the darkness and created the light. And then the light took form. Well, yeah, think about it. The sunlight comes down and it actually goes into the carbon dioxide. Okay, that's our basic 101, right? 101 biology. And that's how it works, is the oxygen comes off and that sunlight gets stored in the carbon. That's photosynthesis.
Correct.
Wow. So you can imagine my mind, and it keeps going and going. So I did my stint in the Western side, and I did my stint all throughout the Eastern side. So I went and studied traditional Chinese medicine over in China. I'd gone over there on a trip with a bunch of, you know, kind of disillusioned doctors that wanted to see what the Chinese were doing. Well, I loved it. And so I dug in and I learned even more about my herbs and everything over there. This was all happening kind of the same time. I went and studied with a wonderful biologist by the name of Bruce Lipton. I mean, this guy was next level in how he looked at biology and how through his work he could found a way to perceive that every cell had its own consciousness. It was its own living organism within a whole, you know, total organism. And again, it just made sense to me how everything's all connected. And I mean, we see these things in different movies like Avatar, how they could connect with their world and dial in any of the indigenous or aboriginal people. We always had a connection to the creator through God's own creation. I mean, and now as humans, we tend to think, well, we've figured out the human genome. We figured out the, yeah, guess what? There's so much I can't, the more and the older I get, the less I really know. And so I'm just amazed at the depth. And so as grand and as incredible as the universe is, there's still a simplicity to it as well. And so we can always, like Tesla was saying, bring it back down to frequency and vibration. And I think this is the key, because we really, going forward, can't lose our roots, so to speak. I mean, and this is the thing where we get so caught up in all the complexities and all of the intricacies of things. But at that root level, there is still that key base. And again, even with my experience in the psychiatric world, in the psychology world, what's amazing to me is, again, love and kindness always wins, doesn't it? I mean, and that's what these doctors that had taken all this education, that they forgot that there's a root level. These are human beings in a human experience. Yes, they're given a different deck of cards than what they have.
It's so critical that people just kind of tune in, and doctors can be extraordinarily unempathic, and they don't have that bedside manner. And it's exactly the bedside manner that, to me, is a healing factor, because they're then radiating love, they're radiating kindness, peace, and they're sending out that emotion and the frequency of those words and that vibration to their patients.
Yes. And they're coming from a place of, out of their fear, because they've only got this part of the picture, they overexpress themselves, I think, in a bad way. Because in that schooling, and I don't know if you ever saw the movie Patch Adams, wonderful movie with our good friend Robin Williams, and Robin played that role. And I mean, right there, it gave a very true picture of what Western medicine was like, where you've got the dean coming in and we are doctors, we are the gods of all things. And they really did try to separate. That was a big component, is separating the human being from the disease or those symptoms. This is patient XYZ with this disease. No, this is Mrs. O'Wiggins, and she's got a condition. Okay, why does she have the condition? Well, nobody talked about that. It's just what drugs. So there was three tools in Western medicine. You could cut, you could burn, or you can poison. That's it. I mean, so what do you want? We can give you all three if you want. And again, we're still using the same archaic methods of cut, burn, and poison. Oh, but we've got a new way of poisoning, or we've got a new way of, this is a lesser chemo. No, they're still the same things. We have not advanced on those things. What's at the root of that cancer? Do you think maybe if the gut's 80% of our equation, do you think that's what got us into trouble? Do you think that it was the environment that we were in that got us into trouble? Because see, that's the problem, is there's just everything's so set in these original structures, but nobody said, well, why are we doing this? Why are we? Because God forbid that you went outside of the system like Robin Williams, what would happen to you is you are really, I mean, hey, see this paper? That's what's going to happen to your special little degree that gives you the doctor. That's why I don't even like to be called that, because it gives connotations. Most of my clients that come to see me, they're going for that natural approach. They don't want any more that fear. I mean, you walk into any of the cancer. I just got off the phone earlier with one. He says, oh my God, I'm so afraid. I've got pancreatic cancer. They told me if I don't do chemo and radiation, I'm going to die. There's so many months left, blah, blah, blah. Right. And I said, wow. And I said, yeah. And there was probably Marge, and she's in the cancer clinic pushing the cart through. Oh, we've got Diet Coke. We've got Coke. We've got ginger ale. We got Dad's cookies. Here's the healthy stuff down here. And sure, yeah, that's got 4 grams more of sugar. And we know from all the research on cancer that one of the biggest pushers of the cancer is the sugar, and how that'll just, it's like pouring gas on the fire, right? Why are we still doing this? Why are we still going through? And again, if anything, instead of having this dichotomy, one of the big things that I'm working right now is how to bridge the two worlds together. And I'm utilizing, because see, whoever does or pays, this is what I learned in the Western side, whoever's paying for the studies bias those studies. Well, look at here, we've got all this research. Yeah, yeah. Who's paying for the research, right? Mm-hmm. And how much of that bias does? And I mean, there's so many papers out there on how research is biased by the person paying for the research. So I'm like, wow, okay. We need to come up with a better way. And nobody's ever paid for any of the more, you know, natural approaches. And there's so many modalities right now. You know, whether you got red light, everybody's into that. Everybody's into, I got the BPC 15, I got the this, I got a that, I got a this, I got a that. And for me, my approach is, okay, these things are all wonderful, but let's bring it down back to the basics. Where's the gut at? And this is what we had such a great chat when we had breakfast in Boca, we talked about the food, and we went to this beautiful place. It's a farm to table place, and it's called Farmer's Table, right? And so we knew where our food was coming from. And yeah. And our focus was on this food that was grown without pesticides, without all the chemicals and herbicides and crap. And I'm a raging celiac. I mean, I didn't know. And it was in the early 2000s. My gut was falling apart. And it was buddies that I'd gone to school with, the radiologist friend. He says, oh, my God, I think you're a celiac. I went, what? Because whatever was going in, see, I had salmonella, but it revealed this leaky gut. And all the little villi that collect all your good nutrients and stuff, they were gone. My whole mucosal lining was shot. I'm like, what's caused this? And he goes, I don't think it was just salmonella. I think this was a trigger, but I think you're a hardcore celiac. And I'm like, huh? Celiac? Oh, yeah. Remember, we had like 4 days on this stuff. Or I mean, 4 hours, not even 4 days in the 4 years. Okay. I said, wow. He says, I think it's connected to wheat, but the body's having some kind of autoimmune, and I don't understand it, but just stop eating wheat. And I'm like, okay, dude, I grew up kind of like half Italian because my mom's side of the family, they're all Italians. I go, okay, that's 80% of my food. I'm going to die, man. There's all my bread, my pasta, cheese. You're just saying cheese isn't good for me either? No, I think there's a problem there too. I'm like, okay. So I started doing a deep dive. Well, what I, in my research, I found is the same guys that own Big Pharma own Big Agra. Okay, we're going somewhere.
And Monsanto.
They started spraying.
And other things. It's so interesting, Don, because what I see just as, you know, a holistic psychotherapist is that I really see that the symptom is the tip of the iceberg. And that's what the pharmaceutical and the medical industry make war on.
Yeah.
On the tip of the iceberg, they're treating the symptoms. And then underneath, that's what's being missed. What's, you know, causing
that's the key.
This symptom
that's
to emerge.
That's the absolute key.
And the symptom is almost like faking, really, what's mm-hmm. truly the origins and etiology of that disease. What's really underneath? Obviously, you can, you know, as you say, cut, yes. burn, and poison the symptom. But then there's all the side mm-hmm. effects, which creates other symptoms and makes the disease not only worse, but expand. And so it's
100% right. And what I was finding is that, again, like it affected my brain. I had that foggy brain. I was up. I was down. I was, you know, and it was like, everything's connected. Because if your body thinks it's, and it is, we're looking at extreme malnutrition because without the good villi breaking down and pulling, see, sugar and fat goes straight in. Everything else has to go through 30 feet of pipe in order for those nutrients that are so essential to our health and wellness. If we don't get, how can you build a house without bricks and mortar? So what happens is without a good, solid, strong gut. And so one of the things I found is they had started spraying tons of herbicides. This is Monsanto at the time. They've changed their name to Bayer. It's all the same people that own it, right? So anyhow, they had started spraying heavy, high dose Roundup. Well, what's Roundup? It is actually the same chemical that they used to make Agent Orange, which is what they sprayed in Vietnam to kill all the vegetation so that they could see where the guys were hiding. Okay, because that's how they were getting sniped out, was because of the vegetation. So it kills pretty, next to chemo, it's the most dangerous chemical on the planet. It kills any living thing. And so they started spraying mass doses of this on especially the wheat to make sure that it was dry and brittle. So when they went through with the harvester, it wouldn't jam in the machine, up went the yield. And this was just, you know, like I said, within a day or two of the harvest. So a lot of that chemical was getting in. And nobody was watching it because, again, Food and Drug Administration, they're all connected. So, again, I kept finding here's connection, but there's connection in the body. If the body thinks it's dying because all of your ability to absorb it has been destroyed. Now, one round of antibiotics, it takes up to 2 years for your body to actually naturally heal its gut biome. So this is the biome. And again, it's like in that movie Avatar, where you got all the plants and all the plants are connected. Yeah, everything's connected. And so your body now is in a state of flight or fight, right? And we know from a psychological standpoint how dangerous that is. And it's very scary. It's the second brain. I think it's actually the first brain, because if we look at Maslow's hierarchy, I mean, this is all basic 101 psychology stuff we learned, right? If our base needs are met, then we can achieve those higher aspects of our existence here. But if we haven't got our nutrients and our basic building blocks and our safety and all of those key elements that Maslow so wonderfully built into that pyramid, if that base isn't there, how can we truly do any of the work? If we just keep slapping Band-Aids, the Band-Aids are going to fall off, and then they're at some point, the wheels have come off. We're sitting there with a full tank of gas because that's sugar and fat. And believe me, the Food and Drug Administration, again, if you look at who's funding these guys, sugar, right? All the McDonald's, all of those people are some of the key funders of the so-called, even up here in Canada, we had the Canadian Food Guide. Yeah. And now they've turned it upside down because it's like, because before it was like, get your breads, get your cheese, get your, you know, whoever was paying the bills. Again, we come back to that. Why are things biased? So part of my approach is to build a system that actually goes through. You've got a new thing on your app now where you can put the food in and it'll tell you exactly what's the rating on this food. Where is it created? Where it's called Yuka. And so people are using that. And again, it's okay, but it still doesn't totally filter out. There's still a lot of bias in it. So there was a wonderful author by name of Dr. Dawkins, is called Power Versus Force. Great book. And it looks at where truth lies, somewhere between the scale of 0 and 1,000. So they put everything from the Bible to the Bhagavad Gita to the, you know, all the different books. Where is it sitting? Based on this whole rating system, this scale rating system that filters out bias. I mean, because again, we're just, as you know, in psychology, the result of a whole pile of collective experiences that we've done. I just actually read a wonderful article here just yesterday. Psychologist Diana Foscia, and she's a founder of Accelerated Experiential Dynamic Psychotherapy in New York. And it was focused on, see, we keep trying to downplay or find ways to kind of band-aid even our traumas, right? Where she's saying, no, from all my research, it's the people who were allowed to feel the trauma that were then able to successfully get over that big hurdle, that hump, and go, okay, now I've fully felt that experience. That's now exactly I can deal with that experience as opposed to, you know.
Yes. You go into the soma and you go into the gut. And when a person feels their trauma, and I've developed a way to release that trauma, so they don't have to have the memory. All they need is a feeling. And when they feel that feeling and release it and fill it with the light and frequency of source, it's transformative. The trauma is neutralized.
It truly is. And, you know, we were talking, I've got my own trauma. I was actually in Omaha, Nebraska 4 years ago, taking care of a client who had taken the third vaccine and had developed polio meningitis. And nobody knew what to do. And I'm using technology that's been kept from us. It was Dr. Reif, actually, that in his work that I was able to discover a direct connection between frequency and vibration and be able to use that to affect various pathogens and diseases. And I did great study and work on that. So I was called in to take care of someone. And my own self, I had to experience, trauma throughout my whole life. I mean, we all go from one trauma to the next. I mean, being born is a trauma. If you want to look, we actually start life in a trauma and we survive. And it's through learning to survive. But my son was the top model in the world. He was the top male model. He was in nursing. He hated it. He says, Dad, I'm just a licensed drug pusher. I said, what do you want to do? I want to be a model. I want to design my own clothes and I want to be in the movies. I said, well, we're in the wrong place up here in Canada. Let's get down to see my friends in L.A. And that kid worked his butt off and he was the absolute top. But the big key with him was his diet, because like most young people, again, the pizza and all the junk food and the garbage was really impeding him. And so he had at a fairly younger age started listening to his dad and saying, look at the secrets in your gut. And this kid was as beautiful as they come. I mean, he had such vibrancy. That's why I called my company Revibrancy, bringing vibrancy back. But this kid was on the cover of pretty much every magazine, and his skin just glowed. And people, there's a picture of him there. Oh, and
stunning.
This kid glowed, right? But he also had just a beautiful base of kindness and love in him as well. But because the gut was so tight and he only ate really clean and tight and ate, you know, wheat-free, gluten-free, he would eat good dairy, not garbage dairy. And he didn't touch any of the, you know, the typical entrappings of like the McDonald's and all those places, the junk food. And so he was at the peak of his, he was just starting to take off. They were actually really looking at him to play the role of young Paul Walker in the prequel to The Fast and Furious. And unfortunately, he was on his way home and to see his fiance and his best buddy. And he was killed by a person with multiple DUIs who blew through a red light at 67 miles an hour downtown Los Angeles, running drugs in the opposite lane of traffic. She had a DUI 2 weeks after she had killed him. I had to do all of the police had done such a shoddy, terrible. LAPD is broke. The whole state of California is broke. I ended up having to do a lot of the work. I found the key witness that had witnessed everything, that had was working at the 7211 at the time. She had on her phone the woman going, look at my car. There's my dead son on the ground. And then this woman's on the phone to her pimp saying, you made me do this. You made me blow through a red light. It's all your fault. Yeah, there's narcissism. I've never seen some. It's the most horrific experience you could imagine. Now, I ended up having to track her down because the cops never followed up on that either. So that was about a 2.5 year experience of severe trauma. The point is, I had to feel that trauma because, and it hurt. There's nothing on the planet. You could run me over with a lawnmower and it would have hurt less. I would have rather have done that and let my son live than to have gone through what I went through. But had I not gone through that trauma and experienced, and you know, it was one of my dear friends, Pat Boone, dear friend. And he's been one of my good friend, not just a good friend, but a client as well, but more of a good friend. He called me over that next day that when this happened, he said, "Don, you got to get over here right now." Wow. And he opened up his door right in Beverly Hills. He's just a few doors down from the Beverly Hills Hotel. And this man came out and hugged me. Okay. Hugged me. I didn't think he was going to let go. And he just kept hugging me. And he said, "You know, I prayed so deeply about this. I can't even imagine. I've got my four girls," he said, "and I can't even imagine losing them in the physical realm." And all that God could tell me, Don, this is the only message I got, was that God knows your pain. That was the key there. There was that physical, and we need that, right? We've got to 100%. Go to that root. And then it was that physical. But then the connection to God, and that God, in his great design, designed all of us in a temporary format here in this human experience,
a delicate for us to learn. Physical form.
Isn't that something? Was just to learn so that our souls could grow through this.
Yes.
And only through feeling that deep pain, that deep suffering, all of that. And you look at Jesus, wow, that's pretty amazing. I guess, you know, there's a connection I had. Okay. His own son. Wow. Isn't that something? He had that. I have that connection. And through that came our ability to go right straight to source, to God.
That's where it all happens. And you have released that pain, I take it. You've released a lot of that trauma.
Yes.
It still moves you. And it always will move you, as it should. That's part of the design of Source. That will always be moved, but it doesn't mean we're paralyzed or held back. In fact, traumas like that actually empower people in a tremendous way.
And the beautiful part of what I had learned through that experience is that the only thing that I own in this whole trip is choice. And again, how can I honor my son's life? How can I honor my daughters? And I have two other daughters. How can I maximize my life to honor them while I'm here? And all of the people that... So here's the key with Jaron. And this is why I say... So Jaron, we had so many people show up. Jaron Baker was his name. And so many of his friends came from all over. We had to have his gathering of his life celebration in one of the parks in downtown Los Angeles in Silver Lake. We couldn't fit everybody in. There was so many of his friends that showed up, and his mother and I had spoken. And then this first kid that came up, he says, "Yeah, I saw Jaron in New York." And I said, "This kid, he just glowed. His skin, he didn't do drugs. He had his crap together." And this kid was so kind. And so I said, "What's your secret?" And he said, "My dad." Well, he says, "What's your dad do?" Well, he's holistic, more functional medicine. He doesn't use drugs. He's using all natural stuff, and he's using a technology, the Rife technology that's been kept from us for 100 years. And he says, "Oh my God, I'm sick all the time. I can't get out of bed. Can I talk to your dad?" I don't know how many of those phone calls I got. "Yeah, Jaron. Yeah, dad, I got another kid. Do your thing." So I had it down to a real science, because I'd worked also with Teen Challenge. I'd helped, I don't know how many kids off the worst drugs and alcohol. And again, I was using music. That was my base. And so this kid, first question that Jaron's dad asked was what I was eating. And I told him McDonald's and pizza and garbage. And I said, okay, second question. Do you not love yourself? Nope, hate my guts. I'm doing illegal and legal drugs because I'm sick all the time. I don't know what else to do. I said, stop there. God gives us one thing, and that's my boss. God gives us one thing. He gives us choice outside of our life. That's it. We've got choice. Okay. We can either go and spend $20 on garbage that's going to kill us, or we can go around the corner. And believe me, I got lots of friends that, you know, my shawarma guy, but I'm not eating that garbage wrap on it. I'm getting just a bowl. I said, I can get a chicken salad. I can whatever. And because it's the wheat, it's all the garbage processed junk that's killing us. I said, look, I can just spend the same $20. In fact, I can get two meals out of that big bowl, right? And I feel great after I've eaten it. I don't feel bloated. I don't feel like I'm, you know, a mess. And it's not going to destroy the lining of my gut. And this kid's like, oh my God, I haven't been sick in a year and a half since I talked to Jaron's dad. I did everything he told me to do. I was eating for exactly correct to my blood type and everything else. He had tested me. He told me exactly what I needed to do. I'm living my best life. I've got my own company. I got a girlfriend. I was like, wow, kid, amazing. So there was another 30 kids with the same story. And then they all kept coming up to me going, yeah, thank you for taking my call. Jaron was like, he was a walking billboard, and it affected all of our lives so much. We just loved him so much. And that's why we're all here, is to support you. But it was Jaron's ability to make choice. And here, what you taught your son has benefited all the rest of us. I go, wow, I had no idea. I really had no idea.
Such a legacy.
And what the effect
was. I
feel
he's here right now. As strange as it may sound, I feel he's right here in a presence for you and for me. And his energy is just feeling like this is what it's all about. Pay it forward. Share it with the planet. Be a presence and be connected to the entire matrix of life and the universe and source.
Exactly. And here's my message for big pharma, big everybody, all of this stuff. Okay. What's really important? What is really important? Okay. And I forget who made this quote, but they basically said, and I've got a whole business plan. I've got everything developed to show how big pharma, because these people in their experience, they just want to make money. That's fine. I'm not here to judge you. But there's a better way. And I can show them how they can still make money, but be morally, ethically, and, you know, now egotistically better people, right? And this can be done. And so my main goal, hopefully, Dr. Trass, is that before I leave this planet, that I can set and be one of the key architects in bringing both sides of medicine into what it should have been all along, is just one beautiful model of medicine that helps us all realize our highest and greatest good. And I had a near-death experience when I was younger. I was 4 years old. I fell off the monkey bars trying to show my mom I could climb to the top of the monkey bars, and suffered a severe brain trauma. And I was floating over my body the whole trip, talked to Jesus the whole thing, and was brought back. But the main thing I remember from that experience was I was told that I had to go back and I had to invest my gifts and talents into the lives of others. And in doing so, helping them realize their highest and greatest good, that someday I would realize my highest and greatest good, and then I would get to come back home at some point. And that's my main goal, is that if I can do that. And my son epitomized that in his 25 years that he got to live here. That kid, the number of young people that he had touched in his short life, literally blew me away. And we all have that ability. We all have that ability to make those changes and make those choices, right? Because all I did was have them substitute, because we're creatures of habit, no matter how you want to dial this in. Okay, so let's just put in a new habit in that place. And like they said, it takes, you know, 23 days or whatever they've kind of figured, but it takes some time. But it also takes that consciousness. So, but let's start at those root levels. And it was really getting that gut health in so that then we could transcend and work on that mind and the soul. Because the mind's stuck in between the body and that soul. So the real battlefield takes place on that mind level. Well, if we haven't got a good base and we're not healthy with our food choices, if we can't start on just something simple like food choices, then how are we going to make those bigger choices, right?
That's for sure. And also, I think like the ego gets in the way of transcending the true personality, the blocks that we encounter, the things in our ego that we know better, that we are more than what we were actually facing. What I'm trying to say is our egos think they know it all, and they really don't. So the more that we dissolve the ego, the better we are, and are humble to the energy of being open and discovering and trusting that our true gut level and our true gut feelings. And I always say, honor your gut, do the right thing. It's going to be the hardest thing to honor your gut, because your gut knows so much more than your head. It has the really true primitive ancient brain that we don't have. Our neocortex is less evolved than our gut.
Yeah. It's so important.
Do you think so?
And that's our key. We've got to get back to those elemental aspects of truly why we're here and our connection to each other. And again, what we do to another, we do to ourselves. And it's so important. But as you said, the ego, and ego is a tough thing, especially when you're a young person and you're just trying to establish, who am I? What am I? Where? Well, again, if I've got 1,000 other poisons and toxins and garbage and crap and corruption in my system, how am I ever going to get to that understanding of who I am as I get older? As I was saying, I mean, you know, I had to laugh. There was a funny thing. Once you're over 60, I'm 61 now, but I feel like I'm 35 because I don't eat garbage. I'm vibrant like a 35 to 40 year old. But it was funny. It says, you know, once you're past 60, hey, at least you don't have to worry about anybody wanting to take you as a hostage. You know, things like there's nobody's, they called it. Oh, I'm sorry. I called after 8. Are you sleeping? You know? And so, but I'm not like that. I'm that, you know, that vibrant 35, 40 year old that's trapped in a 61 year old, you know, a number of years that I've been here. But I'm not trapped in a 61-year-old body. I actually feel more in that 35 to 40-year-old body because I'm not putting the junk in. And I'm making a conscious choice of that every day. And believe me, it's work. I still have to, you know, and now the seed oils are crap. I mean, the canola, they spray that just as much as, and now it's oats and soy. I mean, it's all getting sprayed with these toxic chemicals. And the only way we're going to change that is through our choices personally. Because look at, again, the big corporations, they're interested in making money. And they will do whatever it takes. And so it's up to us through our choices. Collectively, it'll then push them to making those better choices themselves to honor that, because they're going to want to profit. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong. knock yourselves out. If that's important to you in your experience to make profit, I mean, a workman's worth is higher. It's right there in the Bible, okay? I mean, a workman is worth is higher. So we have to get paid to be able to contribute. You see, in the old days, there was something wrong with you if you didn't partake in the celebrations and the dancing and the music. But everybody had their own role. There was the person that made the moccasins. There's the guy that could flint knap and make the bows and arrows. And then, you know, and there was a lady that could do this and she could make that. And everybody collectively worked together, right? And that's where it was. And it was more of a matriarchal system. They kind of listened to the girls because they were always 20 steps ahead of the guys because they can think 20 thoughts at a time. The man brain, well, we're lucky to keep one going at a time. But those were the good days, I really feel. Yeah, sure, we didn't have all the medical advancements that we've made where we could save lives. And there was a lot of challenges that way, too. But life and that collective living of all those souls together, I think it was unencumbered by, you know, stupid phones and the screen time and like, you know, oh my God. I think we really need to get back to those elemental keys. Yes, I love this thing. I can, you know, the old days I had to go to the university library and sort through the cards and I would go to find the book and some turkey didn't bring the book back, right? You know, it took us so long to get information. I mean, this is beautiful that we can get this information, but we still have to balance it. And we still need to. So this is our big thing is integrating. And that's why I like integrative as a word instead of, you know, a lot of people will go, oh, that's an alternative therapy. No, it should be a complementary integrative therapy. We should all be integrating and working together. So I think our words, as you said so many times, Dr. Trask, that, you know, our words are power. What we say is what, there was a saying, and I love this other one, Brian Tracy, I love this guy. He said, if it's not written, it's not real. Always write it out as well. That's not just true. Speak it, but write it. I mean, what did God do with the Ten Commandments? He wrote it into those stones too, right?
Totally. And, you know, I wonder where those stones are now. But
yeah, they're in the Ark of the Covenant somewhere, right?
Ever. Yeah, they haven't found that yet. But yeah. I mean, I feel that this is just part one of just an amazing series of communicative and healing broadcasts that we might do together, because you are just a treasure chest, a compendium of so much information. And I would really like you to be my guest again in the future and share from your heart, which is a large and generous heart and a giving heart. And I want to thank you for being present today, for this piece of your precious time as you go about healing other people. And you use the frequency and love of your words to provide the true magic that happens under your care. And I want to express gratitude to you.
Thank you so much. And likewise, I mean, what you're doing and getting this word out and helping so many of your clients transform. And again, collectively, we need each other so, so much. I can't even describe how beautiful it is to be able to, for us to come together and express. And I just hope this falls on so many ears and so many souls that need to hear this message, because there is hope. And I mean, it's always there. If nothing else, we always have hope.
We do.
So I hope you have a wonderful day, my friend.
Yes.
I can't wait to see you again. I'm so grateful for you.
Thank you so much, Don. And live in grace, the both of us, until we see each other again. And next time you'll come into the studio in person. And that'll be
Yeah, that would be awesome.
We'll do this in person. So thank you. God bless you. Source bless you. And we'll talk again soon.
All right. Okay.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
That's over and out for my show. Thank you for listening and tuning into the Dr. Lynn Tress Show. I hope you've enjoyed it and it's brought some light to your life today. Thank you.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of DashPass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier entirely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.